You're listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network. OneOfUs.net and all of the shows on it are 100% subscriber supported. Please consider becoming a subscriber to OneOfUs.net. Keep the site and all of our great shows going and get some terrific bonus content as well.
About my education, bam, da, 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 da. It's a new movie that's starring Hugh Jackman, bam, na, 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 and Allison Janney is in it too, and that's what we're gonna review. Yeah, I don't give a damn about my bad education, bam, na, na, da, 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 da. Oh yeah, da, na, 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 na. HBO, bam, na, 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 na. It's good, bam, na, na, bam, na, bam. Thank you.
Excellent, wonderful, and that's the amazing return of Davey.
What's up?
Are you returning on this podcast, or have you been back for a while and I've just haven't noticed?
I've done two others, but it's all kind of like a big return suite.
Woo, the returning tour. And with us, with Davey and myself, Bradley Martin, is Paloma.
Hey.
Always a pleasure to speak with you, Paloma. And we're going to be talking about Bad Education, as the song says, Davey's number one hit single there, starring Hugh Jackman playing Frank Tassone and Allison Janney as Pam Gluckin. Am I even saying that name right? Gluckin? And Paloma, why don't you give us a synopsis of this real-life event?
Okay, so it's about a superintendent, school superintendent called, whose name is Dr. Francis A. Frank Tassone, I think, or Tassone. I think it's Italian, but I can't tell. Anyways, Pam Gluckin, or the kind of, well, I guess, you know, Frank is, but basically it's about, they're in charge of, I think it's Rhode Island or somewhere in the East Coast School District, and it's about, called Rosalind School District, and it's about, kind of about, basically the aftermath of a bunch of, you know, of embezzlement and all those scandals coming out, and it also, and one just, of the main, yeah, that's basically essentially the main, you know, summary.
Yeah, not just an embezzlement, allegedly, the single largest public school embezzlement in American history.
Two embezzlements.
Scary stuff.
Yeah.
Or, you know, hilarious, and that's what we're going to talk about, how this film is. Davey, why don't you give us a rundown of the feeling and tone of this movie?
So, it's directed by Corey Finley, who previously did the film Thoroughbreds, that has kind of a Yorgos Lanthimos-style, uncomfortable, surreal comedic tint to the drama and tension. This one's a much more naturalistic type, but it still maintains the balance between being funny, not necessarily out of any jokes or any wacky scenarios, out, but just the human interactions within it to balance out the drama, the tension of these things being uncovered and what people do when they're pushed past the breaking point.
Absolutely. I noticed the score was pretty heavy in this. A lot of woodwinds and natural orchestra playing throughout. I wasn't sure if it was undermining the severity of the crime, whether or not it happens or not. You'll have to watch it, even though it's pretty upfront about what's going on.
I think it is fair to say that there were crimes that happened in this movie.
Yes. I always have trouble.
Well, so, yeah, embezzlement is one of the major crimes. What's actually interesting is the screenplay was written by Mike Makowski, who was actually went to middle school at the school district where it's based out of.
What? That's awesome.
So even though it's called Magic Education, he said it was a really great education he got. So it's kind of ironic there a little bit.
Oh, of course. Now, something that I have trouble with, like I was saying before, I don't want to spoil anything, but this is actual history, and it's happened, and I'm pretty sure it's being marketed as the embezzlement scandal it is.
Yeah.
I think we can cover the embezzlement, and we can be pretty
absolutely
much like safe to say that people know what it's about. So we're not ruining anything too much. Actually, I really loved the character of Frank, and how he, even though he's shown as being this very scandalous figure who was, you know, lying to everybody, he shows up to be really cares about the kids' education. Like, I love the scene, I don't want to go too much into it, the scene where he's talking to the kids about what they want to do with what their goals are for the sixth grade. And he just seems to really care about what's going on with them and helping them.
Yeah, that little girl says, I want to be a cardiovascular surgeon just like my mom when I'm 21. And he kind of was like, okay, why don't we talk about today? You know, because this is, what would you say, a 9-10-year-old with this dream that's way bigger than someone who hasn't even found their own identity yet is the thing. So
exactly.
Yeah, and I think that's very kind of the main tonal conflict in a good way within the movie is the fact that Frank is, at least to a certain degree, the snakiest of snake oil salesmen, and Hugh Jackman does such an incredible job at that, but there's also, like you were saying, Paloma, such sincerity and such earnestness in what he's saying that you don't always know if he truly believes, but it doesn't really matter if he believes it or not, because it's doing good, but also he is just this slimy, manipulative, warm-hearted, giving person, and I feel like that's kind of the nugget of the center of the film, is trying to make a movie around the way that this character exists and how this character sees the world. There's a line about halfway through the movie where he's talking and he says, it's not perfect, but it works. And I think the film is generally kind of going at the question of, is that a good excuse or not?
Exactly. I think it's a little bit about the ethics. Like, if what you're doing ultimately is helping, like, they ultimately went up, I think they went up to, like, the fourth, you know, best school district or whatever in the area, the region. And if it's working, then is it okay that they're basically, well, stealing from the public and, you know, worse than that, you know, from children, essentially?
Yeah.
Right. Because, I mean, all the resources are supposed to go to help the children really learn, and even though they've moved them up, they're still kind of hurting the system.
Well, that's one of the questions I had about the film when it was all over, especially in our current, what I like to call, reality climate. Does a film have a responsibility to explain and make sure you are aware why a crime is wrong? Because embezzlement, that actually hurts hundreds of people, if not thousands, when it came to what was being embezzled here. And do you guys feel that it was successful or not? And again, initial question, is a film responsible for making sure you are aware of the morality of the situation?
Depending on the weirdness of the crime. I don't think it's a movie's job to explain if murder is wrong. We kind of know that. And if a movie is saying that murder isn't wrong, that's usually to make some kind of larger point or have a character that says that. What I like about the film is that you legitimately really like all of the characters, but especially Frank, for about 90% of the movie's runtime, even though you know very clearly in the back of your head, yeah, this guy is responsible for, or at least involved with, such incredible miscarriages of being a public servant. And I think we see just enough of the things of the casualties and the collateral damages of what he and his peers have done in order for us to go, yeah, there is this big negative light shining down on this, but also to the point where we can 100% understand kind of why he did it.
I think he's somebody who you can see who's kind of maybe in this very conservative region, and he's this kind of gay man who's, well, I mean, I think he's definitely had some, you know, he's obviously a very vain person, but I think at the same time he's also somebody who's kind of struggling with what everybody wants him to be or appear to be, what will make him, you know, what he wants to be, which is loved, and who he actually is in reality.
Yeah, he wants to be beloved.
And that's kind of Frank's struggle throughout the whole entire film, in my opinion.
And he gives this excellent performance by Hugh Jackman, by the way. This resounding speech about how this is what you wanted. You wanted the fame. You wanted the prestige. I brought that. So I pressed a couple of my suits with quote-unquote stolen money. Who's the real monster here? You're the one who created me. For me, it fell on deaf ears, but what do you guys think of the point he was trying to make? Same as me, Paloma, or did you feel something?
Yeah, I think that the point he was trying to make, is that I think that basically that, you know, the whatever the means, the results kind of mean that whatever he did to get to that point is okay. I think that where I think at some point he doesn't have a, you know, doesn't really have a something, you know, leg to stand on, because, you know, no matter what, you really shouldn't be stealing from people. But at the same time, he's somebody who was within this, all this pressure on him to be perfect and to make the school the best school could be. And basically the way he dealt with it maybe was to become maybe more vain and, you know, to want all these nice things. And also the fact is that he kind of had to constantly pretend, you know, to be straight and to have a wife who was a widow. You know, in one place we can see that as somebody who's just a liar. At the same time, maybe it's just somebody who's in this very conservative region of the country, this very conservative, you know, community, who's trying to find a way to fit in, but still have what he wants, which is companionship.
Very relatable for a criminal, actually. That's made me very uncomfortable.
I think, at first, for a really long time, because I hadn't heard about the story, I thought that I didn't know how involved Frank was in the situation. I mean, I could see there's something going on with him that wasn't right. But it wasn't until really that he realized the extent of what he was doing that you saw the problem that he kind of posed.
Absolutely. Now, we also have Allison Janney in this. We're going to move on to her performance. Not as predominant in the film as Hugh Jackman. It is his show. But Allison Janney, I'll just say, knocks it out of the park. As always, she's brilliant at this. What do you think about the performance, David?
It's Allison Janney. There's very little to say about it. You say, even more than someone like Hugh Jackman, when you say, hey, Allison Janney's in this movie, you go, oh, cool, we're getting a great performance in this movie. And that's exactly what happens. She is such a good actress that it is boring to talk about her, which is the best thing I can say about her.
One of my favorite scenes was when her nephew, or I think it's her nephew, or maybe it's her stepchild, anyways, is going into buying all the supplies for the, to remodel the house, and he's using the credit card for the school's credit card, and he then asks it to be delivered to the house for the, you know, to be remodeled, and then we figure out all this stuff, like, then that's how they find out by the embezzlement to begin with, and I know, and then, you know, to see, you know, Allison Janney's face, or Pam's face, as he realizes that her whole world's kind of been, you know, unraveled, and that she'd been getting away with it, but only because of her nephew's stupidity that she was caught, essentially. It was a pretty crazy sequence. It showed how she was just a brilliant comedic and drama actress. It's just amazing. She can do both at the same time.
How he's caught is very relatable as well, I think, to everybody. Sorry if that sounds insulting, but you'd have to see it to understand what I mean. But yeah. Allison Janney, dizzying heights to somber lows, and she walks it amazingly and with grace and that Allison Janney perfection. Ray Romano is starting to become one of my favorite, and also starring Ray Romano, actors. I think he's underrated still, even though he's really knocked it out of the park in all these, hey, I'm Ray Romano, I'm in this movie too, type of roles. What did you think, Davey?
It's been very weird, because growing up, Ray Romano was always, oh, that's the guy from Ice Age, and he's on that one show that I don't watch very much, but I don't really care. And, like, the last 2 years, he's been like, hey, The Big Sick, Paddleton, The Irishman, and now this, and it's like, what the hell is happening? But it is...
He's low-key become, like, a leading man, almost.
Yeah, or he's just, like, popping up in the weirdest places, and not necessarily to steal the show, but just to round out the world and to give the Ray Romano energy, which is a very specific thing, to just give the movie that round it all out in such a really holistic way. It's good to see Ray Romano.
Yeah, yeah. Paloma, any thoughts on that?
Yeah, I think he did a really solid job. He kind of, you know, to clarify what he plays, he kind of plays like the part of the member of the board for the school district. Mm-hmm. And it's sort of like the guy who's really, you know, the very outraged guy. And I think he does a really good job of playing like a really believable, normal person. And I thought he did a really solid job. I think he's always, I mean, I'm always impressed with what, you know, when he acts. I don't think he does anything that's crazy, but I think he was always a really great supporting role, you know, supporting actor. I think he did an amazing job in this as well.
Oh, absolutely. When I was growing up, it was Dennis Leary, the comedian who no one really took seriously, that would kind of inch his way into things, and now it's Ray Romano. And
he's
Ray
a
Romano,
solid
of
dude.
Course.
He's a solid actor, I would say.
Very prestigious films he's been in, as you said, Davey, for the past 2 years.
From one
era. Yeah, he was also in The Big Sick.
Yeah.
Yeah.
From one era of Ice Age.
Recently, but he did a good job in as well.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, they're both in Ice Age. That's right. Leary and Romano, best friends, I'm sure. So a closing point I wanted to make, and then we'll go into final thoughts. Frank seemed very together, very sneaky, and very, I can get around this, whenever the embezzlement was about to be caught. And whenever his hand was in the embezzlement pie. But whenever anybody kind of inched close to his, are you a homosexual? He would become a different person and almost accusatory back and deflect and anger. What, and maybe I'm projecting, but do you think this film was making a point that at this time homosexuality was almost treated like a crime? Worse than embezzlement even?
Absolutely.
It seemed worse. I think if you remember the last couple of scenes when we have all the parents and people really acting to hearing about the embezzlement, you hear one mother acting like it's almost like he was worse that he was gay than what he did, crime was.
Yeah, but Dave, you had a point as well.
Oh, just 100%. Especially as a educator and as someone who is in close proximity with children in obviously a completely innocent and non-predatory way, but just the simple fact that he is an educated man helping run the lives of children. If he's gay, then that makes him a predator. And I feel like that's also a big part of his character, is realizing that half of him is saying, if people know this about me, they will consider me a predator. And the other half of him is being, like, a criminal and being a predator in a very different way. And it's interesting seeing the dynamic between those two things of, I have to keep this in, versus people will let me get away with something that's an actual crime that actually affects lives without a second thought. There's a small subplot in the film where Frank is involved in a relationship with a man named Kyle, played by Rafael Casal from Blindspotting. And Rafael Casal just makes me so happy whenever I see him. And he did a really good job, and it's really nice. And if you haven't seen Blindspotting, also, perfect movie. You should watch that.
Yeah, it was one of us's several top 10 lists for several of our critics. And I agree, that is a fantastic film. Well, Paloma, why don't you lead us into final thoughts with your final thoughts?
I would say that I really enjoy this film. I'm a big fan of this kind of I love true crime films in general, but I also really love these white-collar true crimes. I think it's something I don't really know a lot about, and I think it's always very fascinating to see what kind of these criminals can kind of get away with for so long, because for some reason we don't see white-collar crimes as big of a deal in our society as, you know, some other, you know, sometimes even, you know, more minor crimes, especially with drugs. But I think that everybody, I think, was, you know, really on top of their game. This might be my favorite Hugh Jackman performance ever.
Wow.
I think he did a really good job playing this very vulnerable kind of, you know, street out kind of, you know, con artist, essentially, in a way. And I think that his comic, you know, I think he really led, he was really strong leadership. I think Alice Jennings, you know, her role as Pam was very brief, but I think she did an amazing job. And I think we really kind of see, you know, what the, you know, and I think it's really interesting to see the kind of, not the actual crime itself, but the aftermath of it is. And it's a really kind of good, you know, a good warning to be, you know, to protect our children, and especially in their education. And not just in, you know, there's kind of well-being, but also, you know, making this question how, you know, what society's values really are. And I would think I would give this film a 8 out of 10, 8 out of 10 leading the officials right to your crime through delivery of services.
Yeah. All right, Davey.
So this all sounds like it could be potentially very dry because we're talking about embezzlement and finances and the education system. I want to reiterate and make very clear that this is a very fun film to watch. It doesn't sound like it would be, but it is a really interesting, very fast-paced, sort of drama, or comedy drama, I suppose. I also wanted to...
Dramedy, kind of.
Yeah. I also wanted to highlight Geraldine Viswanathan, who is in Blockers and Miracle Workers, who plays a student at the school paper who is starting to try and figure out what's going on with everything, because she kind of stumbles into the realization that, hey, something big might be happening here. And she gives a really, really good performance that kind of balances out a lot of what the adults in the situation are doing, and I just wanted to highlight her as well, because she's as much a part of the film as Jackman or Janie or Ray Romano. Talking is hard sometimes.
Yes.
But no, the movie is a ton of fun, and it grips you, and it just takes you on this ride that isn't, oh, this is so crazy, how can this possibly be true? It's, yeah, that all sounds... It feels true not just because you know the events are true, but also because it is written and directed in such a way where everything tracks in such a line that you go, yep, that makes sense, I would have done that, or I understand why someone would have done that. Even though these people are doing bad things, you get it. And that's one of my favorite feelings that a movie can give me, especially with a crime that I don't understand, like embezzlement, but I now kind of understand. So that's something new. So that's fun. It's still complicated, and if you asked me to explain it to you, I could not. But that's not what this movie's about. Despite Bad Education, it's not an educational film. It's just a normal film. Again, everyone's great. This is a wonderful time. I really liked this movie. This was the end-of-the-world pick-me-up that I really needed right now. So I'm going to give Bad Education 8... and a half out of 10 surprise Pat Healy's.
Yeah. Great surprised face.
Yeah.
Love the anxiety everyone has in this movie as well.
Yeah.
I'm just going to echo both of what you guys said. Hugh Jackman's favorite performance by me was from The Prestige, Robert Anguier, the great Danton as he went by. But this is the most layered, interesting character I think he's played since that time. And
Prisoners?
I'm going to give... Prisoners? Oh, I haven't seen Prisoners.
I'm not good.
A torture film guy. I'm scared to watch
it. It'll make you feel terrible.
It'll make you feel terrible.
Yeah.
Yes. I love films like this. My brother was an educator. And the type of service you give when you're in the service of others, especially education, I feel like that job kind of takes something away from you permanently and never gives it back. You know, hey, bro, I hope that's not true what I just said, but I think you're a great man. I love education. I love embezzlement films because I don't get them either. And I love this movie. It's not perfect because, well, like I said, it made me feel kind of stupid at times. Like, wait, what's being embezzled again? Doesn't a suit cost that much? It's like, no, that's not how embezzlement works. My wife's very nice. She helps explain it a lot. So we watch things together. Anyways, I'm giving this... Eight trips to the Home Depot when there should have only been 10 with a smaller truck and smaller purchases.
Nice.
Yes. Yeah, he definitely showed the, he kind of led them right there, I would say.
Either of you two miss schooling at all?
No.
Do I miss one?
All right. Good night, everybody.